All right, we got some kiddos ready to come up. We usually do. Wonderful. Good to see you guys. Hey there. Happy New Year. Let's see. Do we have anybody who would like to give answers today? Who thinks they probably know some answers? There's a hand. All right. So, how old are you?
10.
In the 10-year-old world, what is a timeout?
Sitting down on the couch.
Sitting down on the couch. All right. What's a timeout to you?
Where you huddle.
Okay. So one is sitting on the couch, and one is where you huddle. See, a lot of times for kids, a timeout is you got in trouble. What?
That God loves me.
Right. And you take time out to remember that God loves you. Well, sometimes for kids, time out is when you got in trouble, right? You need to take some time out. Here's what my mom said. You need to think about what you've done, which I never really did that. I usually think about how I could get my brother back or something. But yes, in sports, like in basketball, they take time out in basketball? Sure. They take time out in football. What?
You be kind.
Yes, you should be kind if you're taking time out. And in sports, a timeout is when you take a little break. You think about how you've been playing the game. Maybe you make some changes so that you can get back in the game and win, right? We're going to learn today that if you're wise, you'll take time out now and then in life to think about how you've been living before the Lord, so that you can go back out and live right. Yes?
That some people play baseball.
Good. He's on the sports now. Very good. All right. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank you for these kiddos here. We pray that you would help us as we study your word this morning. Help us to be wise and to walk wisely before you. Bless these kids as they go back to mom and dad or as they go to children's church. Father, we just thank you for Jerry and Wanda being willing to lead that. Bless our time of study in your word. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Off you go. Good job. Well, take your Bibles, if you would, please, and open to the book of Proverbs. As Pastor Dan said, this is kind of a rerun, although it's been 4 years. 4 years ago, we were in this very same proverb, and maybe 4 years from now, I'll get another break, and I'll get to preach this proverb again. Proverbs is a favorite book of mine. I hope it is of yours as well. I read through this book every month, and not too many books that you have on your shelf are worth reading 12 times a year. But this one is. Proverbs is worth reading over and over and over again. Because in the book itself, Proverbs says this, "Blessed is the man who listens to me," this is wisdom talking, "blessed is the man who listens to me, watching daily at my gates, waiting at the posts of my doors, for whoever finds me finds life and obtains favor from the Lord." Well, I want you to find favor from the Lord. And so this morning we're going to look at a certain proverb, it's one of my favorites, it's 14:8. And we're going to just look at this proverb for 20 minutes in hopes that you might be well prepared for the year ahead. This is a proverb that really tells you to make use of the book of Proverbs and evaluate your life. Proverbs chapter 14, verse 8 says, "The wisdom of the prudent is to understand his way, but the folly of fools is deceit." Now, one of the best ways to study the individual Proverbs, like this one, is to simply prayerfully ask questions of the Lord and then go looking for the answers. Well, I've done that, but I'm going to take you through at least a handful of questions so that when we leave, we all understand clearly what this proverb is saying and how to apply it in life. So question number one is very simple. What is wisdom? Look again at the proverb. The wisdom of the prudent. Well, what is wisdom? The book of Proverbs answers that for us. And then the first answer is back in chapter 2, verse 6. Proverbs 2, verse 6 tells us what wisdom is. Proverbs 2, 6 says, "For the Lord gives wisdom. From his mouth come knowledge and understanding." In the first line is the word wisdom. In the second line is a definition of wisdom. Wisdom equals knowledge plus understanding. Wisdom equals knowledge that God gives plus understanding of how to use the knowledge. See, if all you want is knowledge, go to college. They'll give you plenty of knowledge, but they won't give you wisdom. You will not necessarily understand how you are to use all that knowledge in day-to-day life. God, on the other hand, in His Word, from His mouth, He gives you both knowledge for life and understanding of how to apply it. But from the rest of the book of Proverbs, we learn that wisdom is skill for living. Skill for living. That's one of the best concise definitions I know of. Wisdom is skill for living life. It's how to. And we all like how-tos. How-tos are some of the best books or number one bestsellers on the market. How to use your time. How to use your money. How to use your mind. How to use your mouth. Proverbs addresses all of these things. But in Proverbs, you're learning how to use your time and your mind and your mouth and your money and so forth in a manner that is pleasing to God. So wisdom is how to do these things in a way that is right in God's sight. It's how to deal with people, how to deal with temptations, how to deal with circumstances and situations that you find yourself in. Wisdom is skill for living life. Now the implication is that life isn't easy to live. It's not easy to live life well. The reason is there are many difficulties and dangers on the path. There are many temptations, trials. There are many times in which you could respond this way, and that would be foolish. Or you could respond this way, and that would be wise. You need knowledge and understanding in order to respond rightly to life circumstances. In the same way that you need skill to drive a car well and not wreck it, hurting yourself and others, you need skill to live life well and not wreck it and hurt yourself and those around you. Second question. If you look at the proverb again, the wisdom of the prudent is to understand his way. So the second question, who are the prudent? Well, they're not fools. If you look at the verse again, there are only two kinds of people here. The wisdom of the prudent is to understand his way, but the folly of fools is deceit. The prudent are here in contrast to fools. They are wise people. But what makes them worthy of the title prudent, from other proverbs, is that they are cautious people who have learned that there are consequences to the things you do and say. That's who the prudent are. Listen to Proverbs 22:3. A prudent person, a prudent man or woman, foresees evil and hides himself, but the simple pass on and are punished. Prudent people can see the danger on the road ahead, and they act so as to avoid the danger. But you apply this to everyday life. Let me give you a simple example. Let's say I come to your house for hot tea and cookies, which is not unusual. I often invite myself to people's houses for tea and cookies. Miss Betty knows that. I'll say, can I come over for some tea this week? Let's say that I come to your house for some tea and cookies, but I don't like the tea. It's not hot enough. I got a choice. I could complain. So let's say I complain. Is there a problem with your stove? No, why? Well, the tea's not very hot. What would you do? Probably you're going to try to fix it, right? Well, good for me. Now I get hot tea. Only what if I complain all the time? Tea's not very hot. Your chair's not very comfortable. Your room's not very warm. I become known as a complainer who manipulates people to do what I want by complaining. How many of you like to be around a manipulative complainer? The prudent sees the evil. A prudent person can see, you know, if I am a complainer, I might get my way, but I'm going to push people away from me. Prudent people understand there are consequences to what I say and how I say it. There are consequences to what I do and how I do it. There are consequences even to how I think. So, what is the wisdom of the prudent? Third question. What is the wisdom of the prudent? It's right here. Look at it. 14:8. The wisdom of the prudent is to understand his way. See the word understand? That's actually a verb. It is an action word. It does not simply mean that a prudent person has understanding. This is something the prudent person does. The wisdom of the prudent is to literally discern or seek to discern his or her way. You remember when Solomon became king? And you remember how he prayed to God for wisdom? And he asked God, give me wisdom so that I can lead these people and judge these people. So that when cases come to me, I can discern, the exact same word is used there in 1 Kings 3:9, so that I might discern good from evil. The wisdom of the prudent, the life skill of people who are cautious because they know there are consequences, the life skill they have is to consider carefully their way as to whether their way is good or not so good, as to whether their way is right or wrong. This is something the prudent person does. So, fourth question. We understand what wisdom is. It's skill for living, right? We understand who the prudent are. They are people who are cautious because they understand that actions have consequences. Words have consequences. Decisions have consequences. We understand their wisdom, the wisdom of the prudent, is to understand his way, to think through and discern whether their way is right in the sight of God or not right in the sight of God. So, fourth question, what is your way? The wisdom of the prudent is to understand his way or path. What is that? Well, if you're like me, you take shortcuts. And if you're like me, you might even take shortcuts through your yard. And we have taken so many shortcuts through a corner of our yard that there has become a path, a way. Well, the path or the way in Scripture is your daily habits. That's what it is. You get up at a certain time during the day. That's part of your path. You have a certain routine in the morning. That's part of your path. And whether you realize it or not, you have a certain way with money. Maybe you're a spender. Maybe you're a saver. Maybe you're generous. Maybe you're stingy. You have a way with money. That's part of your path. You have a way with time. Maybe you're diligent and efficient with time. You plan your work and you work your plan. Or you're kind of lazy and careless and you waste a ton of time. That's part of your way. You have a way with people. You're loving and kind and generous and unjudgmental. Or you're unloving, unkind, ungrateful, and critical. Now, probably there's a mix, right? But over time, we all tend to develop habits, patterns, ways we do things. You have a way with possessions. You're the kind of person who really takes good care of your car. Or you're the kind of person who really doesn't take care of your car. Right? You really take good care of your house or you neglect your house. You take good care of your lawn or you neglect your lawn. You can actually drive around the neighborhood and get an idea about certain people by the way they take care of their house and property. That's part of your way. You also have a way in dealing with situations. Do you become anxious or do you remain calm? Everybody remain calm. What do? You have a pattern. You also have a way, by the way, with correction. You are someone who takes correction well and says, you know, thank you. I need to think about that. Or you're someone who the hair goes up on the back of your neck. You instantly become defensive. You instantly have a response to justify what you've said or done. All of these things add up to your way. Your way is the sum of all of your daily habits. But are all your daily habits good? Well, the wisdom of the prudent is to take time out. The wisdom of the prudent is to take time out to consider your way in the sight of God. You know, we tend to greet each other kind of casually. Hey, how you doing? Right? And we say, hey, how you doing? Good. The wisdom of the prudent is to ask himself or herself, hey, how am I doing really? And then to take time to think about that. It's been well said that a significant part of leadership is simply thinking through. Right? If you want to lead somebody on a trip, you're going to think through. How much food do we need? How much time is this going to take? What are we going to do when we get there? How are we going to make use of time? How are we going to handle that? Well, part of leading your life is to think through how you're living your life and then to make adjustments accordingly. I was taught this verse many years ago by a fellow pastor, a man named Tom Pennington. And as he puts it, as he sums up this verse, the prudent man or woman takes time out to meditate upon, to give careful thought to, his or her well-worn path of daily habits, and to make adjustments. That's what this verse is teaching. And this is the skill, this is the life skill of people who recognize that actions have consequences. Decisions have consequences. We could just look through the first seven verses of this chapter to give you an idea of what this looks like. Take a look, for example, at Proverbs 14:1. The wise woman builds her house, but the foolish pulls it down with her own hands. What's that about? It's about a woman's relationship to her household. When it talks about she builds her house, it doesn't mean she's Anna White building a house in Alaska, honey. That's a whole other story for another time. This is talking about a woman's relationship to her spouse, her children, her parents, her in-laws, her cousins, her aunts, or uncles. A wise woman builds up her house. That means she builds relationships with the members of her own family, and by building those relationships, she's building a strong family. A foolish woman, she always tears down her husband, she always tears down her kids, she always tears down her parents, her in-laws, her cousins, aunts, uncles, and she tears down her house. How would you apply that? You look at your life, if you're a woman, and you say, you know, am I building my house by the way I treat those around me? Or am I tearing my own house down? Look at verse 2. He who walks in his uprightness fears the Lord. He who is perverse in his ways despises him. This causes you to look at your morality. Are you a moral man? A moral woman? Or are you perverse? And the answer here tells you about your relationship to God. If you're walking in uprightness, that means you're walking in moral uprightness, that shows you fear God. If you are perverse in your ways, if you're perverse in your thoughts, in your actions, in what you watch, in what you listen to, if there's perversion, it shows that you despise the Lord. You aren't afraid of Him. The wisdom of the prudent is to understand His way. It's to use what God has given here to look at your own way and say, where am I here? How am I with regard to my household? How am I with regard to morality? Look at verse 3. In the mouth of a fool is a rod of pride, but the lips of the wise will preserve them. This proverb is about your speech. Prideful people, you know what they do with their mouth? They beat everyone else down. And by so doing, that exalts them. Yeah, well, he does this, but I. Yeah, she's like this, but I. They don't even have to say, but I. All they have to do is spend time tearing other people down, and the implication is, I am not like them. This is a proverb that challenges us to look at how we speak about others. Do we tend to be critical and tear people down, or do we tend to be encouraging and build people up? The lips of the wise will preserve them. How do I speak? What's my speech like? What's my way like before the Lord? The wisdom of the prudent is to discern these things. Verse 4, where no oxen are, the trough is clean, but much increase comes by the strength of an ox. You know, the price of productivity is a mess. You've probably heard that before. And so you might look at your office, which mine, before New Year's, was a mess. But last year was a very productive year, by the grace of God. A lot of preaching, a lot of teaching, lots of opportunities for counseling and discipleship and evangelism. And by the end of the year, I got books laying everywhere and papers laying everywhere and articles all over the place. And so now my office is clean because I took time to clean it. But by the end of this year, Lord willing, it'll be a mess again. Why? Because much increase comes by the strength of the ox. This is kind of a proverb to make you look at your productivity. Are you useful? Are you applying your time, talent, and energy? An ox's strength is to pull a load. Are you pulling your weight? Even if the result is a mess, that's okay. Well, you get the idea here, right? The wisdom of the prudent is to understand his way. It's to take time out to think about how you're living. Fifth question. When might you do this? The proverb doesn't say. It just says the wisdom of the prudent is to discern his or her way, which is an activity. And the implication here is that the wisdom of the prudent is from time to time to take time out, to discern his or her way. But let me suggest a few times when you might do this. Number one, whenever you want to. Isn't that great? There's no limit here. It doesn't say that you can't do this today. You can do it today if you want. I do this every year. I take time out around my birthday. I take a couple days away. I go up to the mountains with a tent and a truck and a motorcycle because I combine business with pleasure. And I go up to the mountains for a couple days of camping, and I evaluate my life. And what I tend to do is I look first and foremost, what is my relationship like with Jesus Christ? And I always come away knowing I need to become more like Christ and praying, Lord, make me more like you. I have so far to grow to become like Christ. I look at my relationship with my wife. She deserves a much better husband. And I come away saying, God, help me to treat her in a more understanding way. Help me to honor her the way I should honor her. Help me to love her the way Christ loved the church and gave himself for her. I look at my relationship with my kids. Of course, they're grown and out of the house now, so it's a little bit different. But I look at my relationship with my boys. I look at my relationship with all of you. I think about my relationship with the church, my relationship with friends, neighbors, family, money, time, etc. And I come down from the mountain with some new notes where I need to make changes, where I need to make improvements. I do that at my birthday. You can do it on your birthday this year. Or you could do it as a New Year's thing. New Year's is a great time. Whenever you want, you can discern your way. You can examine your way before the Lord using the Word of God. Second, another time you might do this is when you need to. First is when you want to. The second is when you need to. Well, like when? Well, maybe you're in a relationship and it's getting out of hand. Time out. Right? Time out. You got to examine your way. Maybe your money is ending before the month ends. Too much month at the end of the money, like the song says. Whoa, time out. What's going on here? You need to examine your way with money. You need to sit down and figure out a budget. You need to become a better steward of the money that God's giving you. Maybe you've been sporting a toad lately. You've heard that saying, right? You've been sporting a toad. You have a bad attitude. And you time out. What is wrong? Why do I have this bad attitude? What's wrong with me? That's time to take a time out. You know when is another time that you need to take time out? And we're bad at this. I'm bad at this. I'll speak for myself. When someone is correcting you. If anyone gives you correction, you know what? If you're a young person and you live at home with mom and dad, and especially if you have a mom and dad who correct you, do you know that you're extremely blessed? You have somebody in your life who is observing your life and loves you enough to tell you, look, son, this is not right what you're doing here. Look, daughter, this is not right. Because you know what? Once you get out on your own, almost no one is going to correct you anymore. Very rarely. And whenever they do, it's time to take a time out and say, you know what? I need to think about what you're telling me. That's when you need to take a time out. Whenever a relationship's gone too far, you've been having a bad attitude, you feel like you're just going through the motions, someone is trying to correct you, or maybe your circumstances have just drastically changed. Someone has died in your family. Time out. Here's a third one. Whenever you're told to. One is whenever you want to. Totally up to you. Another is when you need to based on circumstances. A third is when you're told to. You say, well, when am I told to? Have you ever heard a preacher say at the end of a sermon, I'd like you to think about these things? They're saying you need to take time out and think about what you just heard. Have you ever heard from James who says, but be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves? Right? Every time you hear the word of God taught, whether at Bible study or in a sermon, that is a time to take time out afterwards and say, what did I just learn? What did God just teach me? How do I be a doer of this? And you know what? If you don't do that, you're deceiving yourself into thinking that everything's fine. You're like the man who beholds his natural face in a mirror and immediately goes away and forgets what kind of man he was. You don't want to be like that guy. Don't be that guy. You want to be the person who, after every time you hear the word of God preached or taught, you leave saying, what did I just learn? How should that apply to my life? I'm very thankful for the little Bible study on Monday mornings. But you don't have to come to that Bible study to think about what you hear. Go home and talk to your family around the lunch table. Take the little table talk thing with you. Or just spend some time alone on a Sunday afternoon and say, Lord, what did you teach me today? How do I apply that? Finally, is there any specific time when God actually tells you, examine your way now? Is there any time when God tells you that? How about 1 Corinthians 11 in the context of communion? We're taking communion today. And every single time we take communion, the Word of God says, but let a man examine himself, and then let him eat of the bread and drink of the cup. The wisdom of the prudent is to examine himself before ever taking communion. And every single time before taking communion. That's a time for you to examine yourself. What should be the question before you take communion? Is Jesus Christ in me? That's the question. 2 Corinthians 13:5. Examine yourselves as to whether you are in the faith. Test yourselves. And here's the question. Do you not know that Jesus Christ is in you, unless indeed you are disqualified? And behind this is the good news that there is a God in heaven who cares about you and who wants you to be saved. And in order that you might be saved, he tells you again and again and again, if you're in the hearing of his word, he tells you, examine yourself. Make your calling and election sure. Double check and see, is Christ in you? You know, Christ came into this world to save what kind of people? Sinners. You should be able to examine your life and say, oh God, I am a sinner. Have mercy on me. And if you've trusted in Christ, you should say, dear God, thank you for sending Christ into this world. Thank you that he died on the cross to pay the price for my sins. God, all my hope is in Jesus Christ alone. I put no confidence in my flesh. Final question. I promised a handful. We've gone through five. One more. What's the alternative? Right? The wisdom of the prudent is to understand his way, to take time out to think about his or her way before the Lord. What's the alternative? Proverbs 14:8b. But the folly of fools is deceit. That means that fools are people who say, I don't need to do that. I don't need to take time out. I'm good. I'm fine. Everything's good with me. And they never make any changes. They don't do the word. And they deceive themselves, and they think they deceive everyone around them. But the one they don't deceive is the Lord. So, beloved, my encouragement simply to you is take time out. Whenever you want to, certainly when you need to, and definitely today. Let's pray. Father God, thank you for your encouragement. Thank you for this proverb. Thank you that you love us like a father and you tell us to take time out to examine ourselves before you. Father, I pray that everyone in this place who's preparing to take communion would examine themselves today and that no one would drink to themselves condemnation. I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.